The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Fred Brack from the Triangle Radio Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State magazine. Today's reading of Our State is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, as it always is, and they've been serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. Thank you, Carter Glass. We're going to be turning the cover on a brand new issue of Our State magazine, celebrating North Carolina. The month is April 2018. The theme this month is The Secret Life of Spring. And there's lots of very pretty flowers against a slate background. I think it literally is slate. That's what it looks like anyway. But we are going to start, as we always do, with the Welcome to Our State by Elizabeth Hudson, Editor-in-Chief. We are all keepers. On this barrier island, near the jut toward Frying Pan Shoals, far from the lighthouse, from the market and the marina, from the spa and the salon, from the golf carts and the pitchers of margaritas on tables beneath umbrellas strung with lights, three simple wooden houses, each built between 1903 and 1933, stand in a row on a dune thick with vegetation. Captain Charlie Swan and his family lived here during his time as the lighthouse keeper, and now anyone can spend a night here in this secluded spot on Bald Head Island and imagine what it must have been like 100 years ago, before the earth got so small, before we filled our empty spaces with swimming pools and parking lots. Sit down on the porch of one of these houses in the evening, in one of the wooden rocking chairs whose back slats have started to curve and bow, and turn on the radio, the battery-powered portable that you only use during power outages, but that you had the good sense to bring along. Find a radio show that you could tune into, low and quiet, and sit and rock and listen and be still. You'll be hearing the wind rolling off the sea. The sky stripes pink, then orange, and the ball of sun falls behind the ocean. In the barest leftover light, you'll see a family of white-tailed deer. There are about 200 deer living on this island, and at dusk, they emerge on the beach, a few at a time, trampling over the dunes, grazing on the wild vegetation, stopping, lifting their heads, acknowledging. You'll see the lights of an anchored freighter out on the horizon, and you'll notice stars, a few at a time, popping out against the darkening sky. With your head tilted back, it looks as though those stars are moving, even though you know from science class that it's the Earth that's actually moving, spinning, and it occurs to you that everything you can't see on this island is, in fact, moving, shifting. The loggerhead sea turtles swimming toward the shore to scratch out their nests and lay their eggs. The ghost crabs scampering along the sand, clawing for bean clams. The red foxes slinking through the underbrush. The slender scarlet snake moving slightly and silently across the sand. By morning, that freighter will be gone, and all the creatures that moved around our feet from where you sat on the porch will have left tracks, traces. In this house, Captain Swan, the keeper, left traces, too. You could see them in the scuffed indentations on the hardwood floor, in the stair banister worn smooth by hands. You could stand in the breezeway of the house, a screen door between you and the ocean, and feel a legacy of caretaking, of keeping, the lighthouse, which was the job, of course, but more, a family, a beach, an island. And out here, as the moon shines down on this wondrous place, and the solitude makes you believe that you're the only inhabitant, it's worth being mindful, in this month noted for renewal and reverence, of the traces we all leave, the honor we all share in caring for our own little part of this earth. And now, with some nature sounds in the background, it's time that we take a look at this month's photo essay, Caretakers of the Coast, which I have the pleasure of interpreting for you. Grassy marshes, fishing traditions, maritime forests tinged with silvery green. Some of our state's greatest treasures thrive along our shores. In a region of constant change, a group of scientists, educators, and volunteers are preserving our sounds, rivers, and beaches for future generations. Written by Katie St. Singh. First double spread, with help from the Coastal Federation, the White Oak River around Jones Island is healthy and clean, making it a popular place for kayaking and canoeing. Of course, you never can tell how clean the water is because it reflects the sky. But it looks nice from this angle. On the left, we have some marsh grass coming into the water, and then some low bushes, and then a big tall tree sticking out among taller bushes. High cirrus clouds in the sky, mostly blue up there. Four kayakers, count them as five, one was behind the other, making their way along the river by Jones Island. 36 years ago, Todd Miller founded the North Carolina Coastal Federation. He'd recently earned degrees in urban studies and city planning. At his earliest education, a childhood spent on exploring the woods and waters around Bogue Sound, had inspired a reverence for nature and a passion for protecting it. Miller's first project, uniting local fishermen, environmentalists, and scientists in opposing a plan to strip mine 120,000 acres of peat bogs, charted a course for the nonprofit, which now touches nearly every community along the coast. With a gentle hand and a long view of the future, Miller and his staff devote themselves to areas in need of care. More than 50 restoration projects to date. Then share those stories, connecting North Carolinians more deeply to the places where land meets water. Caption says, Hoop Pole Creek, 31 acres of marsh and maritime forest in Atlantic Beach, likely would have been developed if the Coastal Federation and its founder and executive director, Todd Miller, hadn't purchased the land in 1997. We're looking here probably from the land across some marsh grass, then there's some open water for, oh, I don't know, 50, 60 feet, and then a true marsh out there before it ends, and we see the coastal water in the distance up against blue sky. And here's Mr. Miller. He's standing on some very torturously twisted roots of a gigantic tree that's split off into about five different trunks, some of them 3.5 to 4 feet thick. Those are coming out horizontally. They're too heavy to go up vertically at that point. So he's in the thick of a little coastal jungle, so to speak. Earthwise Farm. In 1950, a chemist and sailor named Ted Miller, Todd's father, sowed the seeds for the Coastal Federation when he and his wife purchased a plot of land on Bogue Sound in the Carteret County community of Ocean. There, they raised their children to love the water. It was Ted who encouraged Todd to pursue a career in environmental stewardship, and it was in the Miller home that Todd wrote the initial grant proposal for the Coastal Federation. Late in his life, Ted created Earthwise Farms on 3 acres of the family farm as part of his research on healthy living. When he died, he left the organic garden to his son's organization. Now his daughter, Cindy, oversees Earthwise, and Coastal Federation members work the soil every Wednesday, honoring Ted's memory, renewing their connection to the earth, and sharing its bounty as a true community. We have a young girl standing in the middle of the garden, a big smile facing us. She's got one hand at shoulder height, holding the top of a bright pink flower, with many of the other flowers between her and us in both light pink, dark pink, and purple. And there are some of the members of the Federation in the background tending to crops and other plantings. We see some baskets here. One's filled with okra. Another's filled with tomatoes of different colors and sizes. Marsh grass. Durant Point. Living shoreline. As Captain Ernie Foster navigates his sports fishing boat, the Albatross 3, along Hatteras Harbor, he thinks about coexistence and how fish houses and charter operations like his can work side by side, all drawing a living from the water. And he thinks about Durant's Point, a strip of land that protects the livelihood from storms on Pamlico Sound. Several years ago, Foster alerted the Coastal Federation that Durant's Point was fast eroding. As with other areas endangered by erosion, the Federation recommended a natural remedy, a living shoreline. They installed 300 feet of granite sill and rallied volunteers to plant Spartina marsh grass, whose roots both stabilize sediment and serve as a nursery for the young fish, crabs, and shrimp that will one day populate the waters beyond. Since the Durant's Point living shoreline was constructed in 2011, it has weathered droughts, storms, and hurricanes, all of which, Foster says, seem to make the resilient shelter of marsh grass even stronger. A somewhat out-of-focus view of the water behind very much in-focus tall marsh grass with its sharp little tops and sides in front of us. An aerial view of the area. We see some docks. We see some boats in some of the docks. We see some cottages. A lot of little river area that has to be navigated by the boats to get out. And we can see nearer us, we can see the shoaling at the bottom of the water in front of the beach. Patsy Pond Nature Trail at the Croatan National Forest. Outside of the Coastal Federation's headquarters in Carteret County, one of the organization's 3 offices along the coast, cars fly up and down busy North Carolina Highway 24. But on the other side, the road is a different world. On the edge of the sprawling 160,000-acre Croatan National Forest, the Patsy Pond Nature Trail winds through an open woodland, home to a diverse array of wildlife. To the delight of local bird watchers, the trail's plentiful pines and namesake pond attract woodpeckers and wading birds, wild turkeys and warbling songbirds. When the Coastal Federation organized the development of the Patsy Pond Trail, they envisioned just such a place where visitors could reconnect with nature. The group continues to manage the trail, and many of its staff members, including founder Todd Miller, who begins each morning with a walk in these woods, also find themselves stepping into the forest for a peaceful escape. A couple of birders here. They're standing. One of them seems to be standing at the edge of the marsh. The other one looks like he's in the marsh. He's got his binoculars in his left hand, and his right hand is extended up pointer finger pointing for something to his friend to look at, and his friend's on it. Got those binoculars up against his eyes. Marsh grass in the foreground, lily pads beyond the men, and then some taller water plants in this marshy area, and then some land on a little point that's sticking out between two bodies of water. On the other side, tall pine trees. Oyster Reef at Morris Landing. Just below the surface of Stump Sound, oysters huddled in stationary clumps, silently multitasking. More than just a link in our coastal economy, oysters provide habitat for other animals. They help prevent erosion as part of a living shoreline and clean the water. One oyster can filter up to 50 gallons of water a day. But the vital bivalve is also at a disadvantage. Once oyster larvae find purchase on a hard surface, often on other oyster shells, they stay there forever. For better or worse, their health a reflection of the waters around them. So they need all the human help they can get. For more than a decade, the Coastal Federation has worked on making Morris Landing, the area around Stump Sound, cleaner and more hospitable to shellfish, building a stockpile area and a pier that allows them to add 20,000 to 30,000 oyster shells to the water each year. Shell upon shell, each addition is an invitation to some young oyster to make this reef his home. On the left side, somebody's left hand is out, and they're holding an oyster shell. This is really oddly shaped. I guess it's wide open, or it's the top of... I guess what it is, it's multiple shells all stuck together at the base. And we're seeing how this shell grows on itself in little layers over here, and then another one next to it the same way, and two others in the background. Over on the right-hand side, we see a shoreline with all the marsh grass. A lot of it is sticking out of oyster shells that have piled up against the shore, and some water licking in the middle. Man's Harbor. For generations, fishing sustained the Dare County village of Man's Harbor. By the early 2000s, the community's marina, its sole access to Croydon Sound, had fallen into disrepair and was slated for development. Locals, however, wanted a working waterfront. The Coastal Federation rallied commercial and recreational fishermen to preserve this long-standing tradition, working with the Wildlife Resources Commission to install new ramps and docks. In February 2015, residents gathered to celebrate a new Man's Harbor access area, the state's first facility for those who fish for fun and those who fish for a living. Reverend Bill Smith, a Federation board member who gave a dedication that day, returned on Thanksgiving to fish for striped bass and witnessed a happy scene. At least 40 other boats, a parade of recreational and commercial fishermen and their families, all on the water for the same reason. It was a magical day, Smith says. Lots of happy people, lots of fish, enough to go around. We see Man's Harbor here. There is a crab fisherman bringing his boat in. You know, they have a frame on the back where all of the crab pots are stacked and open sides so they can be tossed over in a very small wheelhouse. Then we have the Hallie M out of Manteo. It's a big fishing boat. It doesn't seem to be fully rigged at the moment, but you can get up high on it in those ladders. And another boat or two in the background. Trees in the distance, lots of marsh grass coming right out to the waterfront, and to some docks that look in good repair. Wildlife. Bermuda Island. That's Bermuda with a P as in Peter. In 1983, Onslow County native Lena Ritter approached the newly formed Coastal Federation to ask for help. Developers had set their sights on Bermuda Island, an uninhabited strip of land in the middle of Stump Sound. Like the rest of her family, Ritter had fished the Sound her whole life, and she understood that runoff from the proposed development could endanger the health of her beloved waters. As the Coastal Federation navigated state laws and regulations, Ritter rallied her neighbors on the Sound. Together, the group saved Bermuda Island, now a state coastal preserve, and Ritter continued to work with the Coastal Federation until her death in 2016. Once home to some of the region's earliest human residents, possibly as far back as 300 BC, the island is now only accessible by boat. Yet its stunted trees and salt marshes are home to an abundance of life, egrets, herons, raccoons, marsh rabbits, and other creatures to whom Ritter gave a voice. Here's a picture, I guess, of the island as seen across a little bit of water, a lagoon perhaps. There are some trees, some of which have fallen into the water, but then they have turned their growth upward and are now angling up at 45 degrees and over the water, and a lot of Spanish moss hanging down from them. And here's a heron on an old branch in front of some very live bushes. Bear Island, Hammocks Beach State Park. Members of the Coastal Federation know that a crucial place for protecting our coast is passing along a sense of stewardship. The organization's educational programs teach coastal stewards of all ages about the benefits of oyster reefs and living shorelines, and the dangers of stormwater runoff and marine debris. And sometimes the programs simply offer a chance to experience nature up close. On its coastal cruises to the islands of Hammocks Beach State Park, the Federation leads guided tours of Bear Island's powdery sand dunes, swaying sea oats, and surrounding estuarine waters. For those in the know, the Barrier Island, accessible only by kayak, ferry, or private boat, is a secluded spot for fishing, swimming, and camping. For those who don't know, or who want to know more, a Coastal Federation guide can share history, point out dolphins and shorebirds, and explain how the Federation's efforts keep these waters pristine. This is a nice twilight photo, a long beach and a wide beach. The tide is sweeping in. It's probably coming in from low tide or going out from high tide, not quite sure which. And there's a lone fisherman walking along right where the water breaks onto the sand. It's sweeping up at his feet, probably going to get a little wet there, but not going to bother him at all as he casts out into the light surf against a beautiful orange sky and kind of a purplish landscape. In relief. And finally, the end of our article, Jones Island. When the Coastal Federation began working with Hammocks State Beach Park in the early 90s, the park comprised a gateway area on mainland Onslow County, and Bear Island, a 3-mile barrier island. As Federation members worked with park staff to reduce stormwater runoff on the mainland, they were inspired to apply for funds to help purchase two other islands in the White Oak River, Huggins and most of Jones Island, which they donated to Hammocks Beach State Park. Purchasing the islands meant preventing development there, not protecting the water. The partnership between the organizations preserved something much greater: the partnership between humans, wildlife, and the river that we all share. This is an aerial view of Jones Island. Not very big, but very, very green. Lots and lots of trees. At the right-hand end is a little inlet, and it's like a tiny pond, and the grass around it is low. And there's a tiny little beach just off to the right of that. Down at the lower part of the island, we see some boats. No, those look like kayaks. We're up pretty high, but I'm pretty sure they're kayakers enjoying going around the island and looking for wildlife around the edge of the island. Again, with the disclaimer that the higher you are looking at water, the more blue sky you're seeing reflected. This is a beautiful bay in blue that we're seeing, and then the mainland off to one side, and then kind of like a riverway passage off into the distance, and some more houses on the other side. You know, when I first looked at this, I turned over. I wasn't sure whether that was the end or the next page was the end, because we have a mother and daughter running down about a 60-degree slope here. Well, let's say 45-degree slope in sand. They both got their arms out to the side, and they're having a ball coming down a sand dune. Behind them is some beach grass, which is holding that sand dune together. They're not running in the grassy section, and they're running toward the ocean. And the caption says, "The first time Jasmine saw the ocean, it was through her daughter's eyes." And down the bottom, it says, "Firsts that last, North Carolina. See their story at visitnc.com. So if you'd like to see more pictures like that and hear more stories about people that have come into North Carolina and are enjoying all the natural beauties that we have and the beauties that we hear about all the time as we read these articles in our state, that would be the place to go. We're almost out of time. I've got a couple of ads here that I might read as we wind down today's episodes. This one says, "Sip and Stay, Johnson County, a weekend wind down." Not wind, but wine. "Forget housework deadlines and city traffic for the weekend. Walk along the vineyards, sip local wines and craft beer, dine on yummy chef-driven entrees, and explore the countryside in Johnston County. Located just 30 minutes east of Raleigh, book your Sip and Stay package today. You can call 1-800-441-7829. Your heart's adventure awaits at Asheboro, home of the North Carolina Zoo. Visit the heart of North Carolina, and that's also the website name, heartofnorthcarolina.com. Here's a very happy guy. I think he's the chef holding a big plate of food. In our South, laughter is always in season. You don't measure a meal by how you think it will taste. You measure it by how it makes you feel when you take that first delicious bite. Our city is the same way. Fresh, unexpected, and always inspiring. Winston-Salem is your true Southern wake-up call. Visit Winston-Salem. And finally, plan your getaway to visit the Yadkin Valley area. You can see them on the web at visityadkin.com. Well, my friends, we've run out of time for today's episode of Our State Magazine. Hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to listen next time. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Today's reading of Our State Magazine was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They've been around a long time. They know what they're doing. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast, too, at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. Questions or comments? Call the studios, 919-832-5138. So long. Until next time.